The Golden State Warriors are the 2015 NBA champions. Their first title in 40 years.
For the first time since 1954, the Giants are world champions.
And you tell them one thing, just win, baby.
I'd say it's the Bay's golden days.
Just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through. We gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through. We gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, golden, golden.
Bay's Golden Days. I'm Marcus Boucher. Welcome back to another week of the Bay's Golden Days podcast, breaking down week three of the NFL, where we saw 10 upset specials from the underdog. So, of course, we're going to break down every week three matchup that happened in the NFL, as well as look ahead into week four of the NFL matchups in our betting segment, Straight Cash Homie. But first, seeing as this is the Bay's Golden Days, we got to talk about our biggest upset of the week, and that is the Raiders losing on Sunday Night Football to the Redskins. Ah, no preview for this. It's just hop right in. Sunday Night Football, what an embarrassment.
They say this is a big rich town.
Sunday Night Football, prime time, and what a fucking embarrassment. Where were my Oakland Raiders? Were they off in Vegas already? Because this is not the Oakland Raiders team that I have seen so far this year. I mentioned it on our last podcast. We started off the season 2-0 since the first time since 2002, the year we went to the Super Bowl. Well, surprise, surprise. The two coaches in that Super Bowl, John Gruden, Bill Callahan. John's little brother was standing on the sideline, and Bill Callahan was standing on the sideline right next to him, holding hands and running up the score on the Raiders because they got blown out 27-10 Sunday Night Football. I was having nightmares of seeing Callahan and Gruden on the sideline like it was Super Bowl 2002. But man, I just want to move on and forget this week. But of course, this is the Bay's Golden Days, so we got to break down everything that happened in this embarrassing Sunday night loss. And the story was the Raiders just flat out did not look like they showed up to play. They looked slow. They looked sloppy. They looked lethargical. They looked like the Derek Carr team from his rookie year that started 0-10. Hell, they started to look like David Carr's offensive line getting sacked left and right. They were looking like the East Coast Curse Raiders from just a few years ago. We got over those East Coast trips last year, but the East Coast Curse looked like it was back in full effect during this game. And the Washington Redskins, they must have been disrespected. Somebody must have pissed in their Cheerios or something, because they came out to play. They came out with a chip on their shoulder. They were the home underdogs against the point spread. We heard Josh Norman after the game ripping Crabtree and Cooper, saying they're talking shit. Hey, our wide receivers don't even talk that much shit, so I don't know where this come from. This might be Josh Norman patting himself on the back and going crazy like Josh Norman does, but hey, he's got that right, because the Redskins took out one of the top teams in the NFL this year, the Oakland Raiders, 27-10 on Sunday Night Football. And let's hop into this game and see how it happened in the first quarter alone. Derek Carr's very first pass, INT. Yes, he tried to force the ball down to Amari Cooper. It was a nice rollout right play. He thought he had single coverage on the backside to Amari Cooper, and he just launched the ball with no care in the air into double coverage, and it was picked off. It looked like a ball that shouldn't even been thrown. This was real surprising by the Raiders offense after smacking the Jets last week. It seemed like they just waltzed out here and felt like they were going to take care of the Redskins like it was nothing, with Derek Carr taking shots his very first play of the game. But man, oh man, it just went from bad to worse over the whole entire course of the game. The Redskins score off of that turnover after Vernon Davis beat Sean Smith on a third down conversion, with Chris Thompson with a 22-yard touchdown catch to put the Redskins up 7-0. There was blown coverage by Reggie Nelson. He came on a safety blitz, but also our linebackers were blitzing, a big miscommunication, and it was key because no one was there to cover Chris Thompson, and Chris Thompson is damn near averaging 14 yards per
per touch so far through the NFL season. This guy has been a monster. Talk about the new Darren Sproles in Washington for the Redskins. On the next drive, the Raiders offense could not respond as we start to see some offensive line struggles, and they let up back-to-back sacks. Derek Carr usually doesn't even get sacked twice in a game, and he got sacked back-to-back. But, hey, we had some sack masters on our team also. We all know Khalil Mack. He gets a sack for a three and out. Tried to get the Raiders back the ball in a good field position, but no. Carr throws another INT. He tried to force a seam route down to Seth Roberts in the slot. It looked like he was trying to hit slot on a 50-50 ball, but it was more 75-25%. It was going to catch it, and it came out with the Redskins making another INT, and the Redskins capitalized off the turnover again with Vernon Davis beating Sean Smith once again for an 18-yard touchdown. This was a key matchup I talked about last week on our podcast. It was going to be Sean Smith versus the tight ends. I was looking forward for that matchup against Jordan Reed because Sean Smith is one of our better defenders against bigger wide receivers and tight ends, but Jordan Reed was out of this game, which I think actually created a worse matchup for Sean Smith trying to guard Vernon Davis. Sean Smith has struggled mightily against fast wide receivers. We all remember last year against Brandon Cooks and et cetera and et cetera. So against Vernon Davis, he was able to use his speed and get separation against Sean Smith, and Sean Smith really did look like he looked in the preseason and was having his worst game of the season so far. And just like that, the Raiders are down 14-0 at halftime, 0 points in the first half, 2 turnovers, 4 punts. Yes, 4 punts. Marquette King, we'll talk about him at the end of this segment, but he had a day punting the ball. You don't really want to brag about your punter punting all day because that means your offense really isn't doing anything. Let's go ahead and look now towards the second half of the game. In the third quarter, the Redskins really did look like they were really just trying to rub some salt in the wounds as they came out hyped out of the locker rooms to go 75 yards in 7 plays as Josh Doctson, the former first-round draft pick Josh Doctson, finally gets in on the action and absolutely mosses David Amerson on a 52-yard touchdown. I'm sitting here watching his ball float up for forever. I'm thinking of it's rookie of the year, and the mom in the stand just saying, float it, and David Amerson's going to go up, high point the ball, and pick it, and no, he got absolutely mossed. David Amerson, not the greatest game in your return to the Redskins. It seems the Redskins were trying to prove a point of why we cut you, and we don't think that the Raiders should have paid you all that money. But, hey, David Amerson has been a solid cornerback for the Raiders. He just had one of his worst games this game as he gets absolutely mossed by Josh Doctson on that 52-yard touchdown to put the Redskins up 21-0. And then the problems continue for the Carr insurance and Derek Carr as he is sacked 2 more times. The Raiders finally then catch a break on a punt that was fumbled. James Kauser recovers it in the Raiders' red zone. The Raiders take advantage of that turnover opportunity, and Carr hits Cook for a 21-yard touchdown. And we're thinking, hey, maybe we got a chance. It's only 21-7, two-score game. The Raiders can score 2 scores real quick. But no, all the hope was just diminished on the next drive as the Raiders' defense looked like they were going to have a big stop. They had the Redskins backed up 3rd and 19. And Chris Thompson, once again, goes 74 yards on a 3rd and 19 screen pass. This was terrible coverage, terrible tackling, terrible defense. Just everything on this play was absolutely terrible as Chris Thompson sets him up for a field goal to put the Redskins up 24-10. The Raiders then get another turnover in the fourth quarter off Corey James's fumble, but they only settle for 3. The Redskins get another field goal, and there's just field goals left and right, and the Redskins ended up winning this game 27-10, which looked like a game that it should have been 40-0, because as Derek Carr said it perfectly in his post-game interview, it looked like we just got punched in the mouth.
Again, I have to take care of the ball. You know, that's an old thing. If I feel like, oh man, we need a player or a spark, I can do it. You know, it's like I had to calm myself down a little bit. So I caught myself there, but it sucks when it happens. And then, you know, it hurts our team. So I got to take care of the ball better. And I will. You know, this isn't alarming, but we did get punched in the mouth. And it's all about how we respond. And obviously you guys know, too, that are around us. Our guys will be ready to fight.
Sucker punched on Sunday Night Football. I told you this was not the Oakland Raiders that we've seen all season. This team truly did not show up. I mentioned that they're looking like the Las Vegas Raiders already, and Derek Carr was looking like David Carr. I said last week that Derek Carr was actually number one in the NFL for getting rid of the ball the fastest amount of time. He was getting off in 1.9 seconds. No other quarterback has been averaging under 2 seconds in a full NFL season. Well, this game, he held onto the ball for a little bit too long. You give some credit to Josh Normer and Breland. The corners did a great job blocking up Coop and Crabtree, but Derek Carr had a lot of times where he held onto the ball for 3-4 seconds and took 4 sacks. four. One, two, three, four. He didn't even get sacked four times last year, and now he's getting sacked four times in one game. Where was the offensive line? Where was car insurance? Carr got totaled this game. Three turnovers. That is not the Raiders' offense, not at all. And this offensive line couldn't pass block, and they couldn't run block either because we only had 32 rushing yards. Where was beast mode? He was dancing, getting hyphy on the sideline last week. But, hey, the Redskins looked like they took note of that and did not want to be disrespected at home in Washington on prime time. They took it personally that they did not want Marshawn Lynch dancing on their sideline in their home stadium. Marshawn Lynch only finished with 6 carries for 18 yards. Derek Carr, 19 for 31 overall, 118 yards, 1 touchdown, and 2 interceptions, as we covered. Amari Cooper, Michael Crabtree. Hey, I've gone to bat for these guys being the two best wide receiver tandem in the league, with Martavis Bryant obviously suspended last year. Now he's back, so the Steelers are up there. Giants are up there. There are a couple teams that have great wide receiver tandems, even if you want to throw in the Bucks. But Crab and Cooper have been so consistent over the past 3 years. And then they just fall apart and don't have anything to do in this game as we get embarrassed on Sunday night. Crab and Cooper both had a big drop in the first quarter, and that was huge because we just cannot sustain a drive. I talked about Marshawn Lynch only getting 6 carries for 18 yards. Where were those big first downs that we needed? Nothing could go. We couldn't get into a rhythm. Every time it seemed like something good was happening, Derek Carr got sacked. We couldn't block. It was a tackle for a loss. We went 0 for 11 on third down. 0 for 11. How is that possible? How do you go 0 for on third down conversions? This was not the Raiders. We only had 7 first downs, 3 turnovers. This was just not what I wanted to see. But on the flip side, the Redskins did a great job of controlling the ball and not really giving the Raiders too much of an opportunity. The Redskins damn near had the ball for 40 minutes while the Raiders only had it for 20. The Redskins did a great job of just keep on running, running, running. They weren't having the most success on the ground, but they just kept running the ball, and they pulled a Dallas Cowboys type of strategy where they said, hey, we're just going to try to keep Derek Carr off the field, not let him get into his groove and not let him get into a rhythm, because when you've got the ball twice as much as the other team, it's going to be really hard for the other team to score points and to get into the game. And we're talking about the total yardage numbers. Washington put up 472 yards. The Raiders only put up 128, had less than 100 before that final garbage time drive at the end of the game. This score should have been 40-0 Redskins. The way that the Raiders play doesn't even reflect this score. Yeah, 27-10 sounds bad, but it really could have been a lot worse if it wasn't for Khalil Mack having one hell of a day on the defense side of the ball, having 9 tackles, a sack, and 3 quarterback hits. James Kauser, who I mentioned, had 2 fumble recoveries. So without those 2 turnovers and without a few quarterback pressures, this game would have been even more of an embarrassment. I mean, we already got 21 skunked before he scored a touchdown, but this could have been absolutely terrible. I talked about Sean Smith just getting dusted by Vernon Davis left and right, and David Amerson struggled. Even our rookie Garyon Conley came up and missed that tackle against Chris Thompson. Our DBs need to improve. But hey, 27 points, I still think that's a game our offense could have won. I said we were going to score 30 points a game. We only came out and got 10 this game, and it truly was an embarrassment. This is not the Raiders I'm proud of. This is not the Raiders I want to watch. The only thing that was good to see was Marquette King flipping the field. I mentioned that he was a big part of this game, and he was really the only reason why the score was 27-10, because he was booting 50, 60, 70-yard punts left and right to flip the field, trying to keep the Redskins out of our territory, but it was not enough. He can't do it all on his own. He's a goddamn punter, even though he created a turnover with that James Kauser fumble recovery. At the end of the day, this Raiders team just looked way too cocky, way too confident after blowing out the Jets. I'm pretty sure this was the first blowout of Derek Carr's career, because I've talked about it for the past 3 years on the podcast. The successful steps of a franchise: you're going to lose big, you're going to lose close, you're going to win close, and then you're going to win big. We saw the 0-10 year was losing big. We saw the 8-8 year was losing close. We saw the 12-4 year was winning close. And now we thought we were in the win big stage, but this really was a too overconfident team that just thought they were just going to walk in Sunday Night Football and embarrass the Redskins on Sunday night. But the Redskins did not want none of that. Josh Norman, he's got some harsh words, but hey, he deserves them. At the end of the day, the Redskins got the job done, beating the Raiders 27-10. And the Raiders, unfortunately, fall to 2-1 on the year. But don't worry, we got a division rivalry game coming up next week against the Denver Broncos, and I'm going to break that down fully in our Week 4 segment of Straight Cash Homie. But first, let's go ahead and recap every single game for Week 3 of the NFL season. And let's go ahead and look at what's being said around the league and what's going on with the power rankings after Week 3.
Yeah. Brady magic. The Patriots easily could have lost this game to the Texans if Brady didn't rescue them.
Aaron Rodgers. He did things that only Aaron Rodgers could do.
Carr said the Raiders were punched in the mouth by Washington. Carr had one of the worst games of his four-year NFL career, and the Raiders pay for it as a team in a 27-10 embarrassment on national television.
The Bills upset the Broncos 26-16. Very impressed by Buffalo. We're now 35 games since Tyrod Taylor joined the Buffalo Bills, and he has just 13 interceptions.
Cam Newton perhaps said it best. It's gut check time for a lot of people, including myself. The Panthers struggled offensively. More importantly, Newton struggled offensively.
0-3 with a loss in the division, you have just a shorter field right now to try and score from.
Week 3 of the NFL, and boy, was it a crazy one. Like I mentioned at the beginning of this podcast, there were 10 underdog wins this week, and after 3 weeks of the NFL season, there are only 2 teams still undefeated. Last year, we had 5 teams still undefeated after Week 3, and back in 2015, we had 7 teams undefeated after the conclusion of Week 3. So, hey, this parity might be good for the NFL, but it is not good for gamblers at all unless you took the underdogs on a lot of bets. So let's go ahead and review all of our bets from last week. Straight cash, homie. Week 3, starting off with one of those teams that are still undefeated, as we will stick in an AFC West division matchup, the Kansas City Chiefs. 1-2 undefeated teams, 3-0 in the year, took care of the Chargers 24-10 and made you some money. Like I said, they were going to cover the point spread, and Alex Smith took care of the Chargers like it was nothing. 155 yards, 2 touchdowns with Kareem Hunt, the rookie sensation. 6 touchdowns in 3 games. This man had 17 carries, 172 yards, and a touchdown, while Phillip Rivers was looking despicable in the first half. He tried to make it interesting late, but ended the day with 237 yards and 3 interceptions. And just when you thought it couldn't get worse for San Diego, Melvin Gordon once again hurts his knee with a deep bone bruise. We'll keep an eye on that to see how he comes back for the rest of the season and if that injury lingers. But like I've mentioned the whole time, Los Angeles Chargers. No one wants them in Los Angeles. They have banners last week saying fire Dean Spanos, the worst owner in sports. Well, they had a banner this week saying free the Chargers. Bring them back to San Diego. Free my brother Chargers. They didn't do nothing. Bring them back to SD. Hey, Chargers fans, at least down in San Diego, I thought you had no love for the Chargers anymore after your ratings dropped 50%. But hey, there still are a few fans that still want them back. But it doesn't matter. They're sitting in the cellar of the AFC West as they fall to 0-3, and the Chiefs are 3-0 to take a stronghold of the AFC West with the Raiders losing. But let's talk about another big upset in the AFC West. The Denver Broncos lost their first game of the year to drop to 2-1 after they tried to go into Buffalo, and Buffalo said, hey, keep them donkeys out of Buffalo. They got the dub 26-16, and this Bills defense has been looking great. They're actually the first in scoring defense, and they're 6th in total yards allowed. But the true story in this game was a defensive player from the Broncos. Von Miller in the fourth quarter sacks Tyrod Taylor, and the Broncos are thinking they're getting the ball back, only down one possession. But no, Von Miller goes for the fake. And let me help you up, Tyrod. And Tyrod, oh, yeah, you got me. Oh, gee willikers, I got fooled there. And the refs threw a flag. These are two guys that were in the same draft class. They were chopping it up, laughing the whole entire game. Von Miller literally pulled like a fifth grade elementary move. I'm going to pretend to help you up. Oh, psych, gotcha. I mean, this is ridiculous. And the referees threw a flag to give the Bills a first down, which led to a field goal, which led to the Bills winning by 10 points. Hey, I'm not going to complain as a Raider fan, but man, oh man, the No Fun League took it to a new extreme in this game as the Buffalo Bills took care of the Broncos 26-16 to improve to 2-1 in the AFC East. And we'll stick around in the AFC East as we had a division matchup between the Dolphins and the Jets. And man, oh man, was no one expecting this one. The Jets came out and put up a 20 spot on the Dolphins to win the game 20-6. I don't want to give excuses for the Dolphins, but they have been traveling back and forth between California, Florida, and now they're going to London next week. So they truly have had a terrible travel schedule. But Jay Cutler, I don't know if Dolphins fans thought he was going to be the savior, but he got a lot of garbage time points, 220 yards, a touchdown, and INT was huge as the Jets. And Josh McCown, get the W. Man, oh, man, I don't even know what to talk about it, and I don't even want to talk about it anymore. The Jets probably getting one of their few wins of the year. We'll keep it moving to the AFC East as the Texans went into Foxborough and put up a fight against the Patriots. This is one of the bets that I told you stay away from the Patriots in that 14-point spread. The Texans with one of the elite defenses in the NFL almost pulled off the upset win against the Patriots. They ended up losing 36-33. And this is a game that the Texans could have won easily. Their defense played huge. Davion Clowney had a huge game, a couple sacks. He had a pick six, but it was their defensive backfield who dropped an easy fourth quarter pick. Tom Brady threw it up. The game should have been over. As soon as I saw him drop that pick, I said, oh, well, now Tom Brady's going to score a game-winning touchdown. And just like that, 2 to 3 plays later, he hits Brandon Cook in the side of the end zone for a game-winning touchdown. Cook's probably had his best day as a Patriot so far with 5 catches, 131 yards, and 2 touchdowns as the Patriots squeak by the Texans to improve to 2-1 on the year in that AFC East. And the Texans dropped a 1-2 in the AFC South. We're going to stick with the AFC South now as the Titans had one hell of a game against the Seattle Seahawks at home in Tennessee. They took care of the Seahawks 33-27, and they put it down with this exotic smash mouth offense. This Titans offensive line, I've been talking about them for a couple years. They are truly one of the elite offensive lines, top five, top three. I put them right up there with the Raiders and the Cowboys. They had 35 rushes for 195 yards. We also saw DeMarco Murray's huge touchdown run. He ended the day with 14 carries for 115 yards and a touchdown, and this offensive line would not let Marcus Mariota get touched. The Seattle Seahawks are supposed to know him for this Legion of Boom and this defense. Marcus Mariota was only pressured twice on 37 dropbacks. This offensive line is looking elite, and as Tennessee Titans took care of the Seahawks, this was true smash mouth football. Line up the bodies. I'm going to put my offensive line against your death row defensive line, and the offensive line for the Titans showed up and took care of the Seahawks 33-27. And then we'll stick to the AFC South as we skip across the pond, hop, step, and a skip over across to London, where the Jaguars came out early in the morning across the pond and took care of the Ravens. The Ravens got their wings plucked in London 44-7. Man, we got to sign a petition to just keep the Jaguars in London. Blake Bortles was not looking like Blake Bortles. He was looking like some international superstar. Blake Bortles with 244 yards and 4 touchdowns. They absolutely embarrassed the Ravens. All this talk I gave the Ravens about this defense being a top 10 defense, and you get embarrassed by Blake Bortles and the Jaguars? What the hell is going on? Joe Flacco put up probably the worst performance of his life. He put up the lowest QBR ever. He had a 0.5 rating. Couldn't even get a full point. He was 8 for 18 for 28 yards and 2 interceptions. And this is a true story. I didn't even want to wake up early enough for this London game. I woke up anyways. It was the second quarter. I turn on the TV. Joe Flacco completes a pass, and it said, Joe Flacco just got his first completion of the day. I had to squint my eyes. I was like, the screen says second quarter, right? What the hell is going on with the Ravens? Hey, gotta give your hats off to the Jaguars. They are London's team, and it seems like whenever they're out in London, they come out to play. While John Harbaugh said, hey, I'm never going back to London again. Keep the Ravens out, and I'm sure they don't want to return to London after being absolutely embarrassed. Let's go ahead and talk about another matchup that we had between the AFC South and the AFC North, the Colts and the Browns in a pickup game. And this was a pretty interesting game to watch. DeShone Kizer had 242 yards, 2 touchdowns, but did have 3 big interceptions. But he was running all over the field, had 7 carries for 44 yards and a touchdown. Duke Johnson has been great out of the backfield receiving. He was actually the leading receiver on the day with Corey Coleman out for a few weeks with that broken hand. He had 6 catches, 81 yards, but it was Jacoby Brissett who said, hey, Kizer, you think you can run? Hold my beer. As he had 2 rushing touchdowns to add on to his 259 yards and a touchdown on the day. This was a pick'em game, and T.Y. Hilton said, you better pick us because we got to win. I didn't think they'd win without Andrew Luck, but hey, Jacoby Brissett, if he doesn't turn the ball over, he seems like a decent game manager, and he's able to go out with his athletic ability and get some things done on the ground. T.Y. Hilton finished with 7 catches, 153 yards, and a touchdown as the Colts get their first win against the Browns to improve to 1-2 in that AFC South. Moving on, we'll stay in that AFC North with the Pittsburgh Steelers as they went into Chicago and were embarrassed. We want to talk about upsets of the week. This is definitely up there. The Steelers lost 23-17 against the Bears as Jordan Howard has a day, 23 carries, 138 yards, 2 touchdowns, one of them being that walk-off touchdown in overtime. That was after Tariq Cohen almost scored the play before, but hey,
Jordan Howard, Tariq Cohen, they really did slice up the Steelers' defense because they were getting all the targets. The Bears' wide receivers were targeted four times and had one catch. Mike Glennon had 101 passing yards, a touchdown, and an interception, and they won the game. Yes, I guarantee if you just heard those stats, the Bears' wide receivers were only targeted four times and had one catch, and their quarterback threw for 100 yards. I think only 19 of those traveled in the air because they were all checkdowns, 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 and this was Dub Bears, and even they had a Dub Bears moment as the Steelers couldn't capitalize. They tried to kick a field goal before halftime. The Bears block a field goal, and the man returns it all the way down to the one-yard line and gets stripped. Smart move by the Steelers kicker to try to flick it out of the end zone, but they ended up giving another possession, gave him the field goal, gave him the points, and the Bears at the end of the day just pulled up one of the biggest upsets of the week, taking care of the division favorite, the Pittsburgh Steelers. They got torn up on the ground, and Jordan Howard, after everybody said he was a fantasy bust, has his best game of the year playing with an AC sprained joint in his shoulder. The man put the team on his back and got the win 23-17 in Chicago. Let's move on now to another AFC North team. The Cincinnati Bengals went into Green Bay to try to upset the Packers, and they looked like they really did have a chance in that first half. They put up 21 points in the first half and only 3 in the second half, and you can't do that against Aaron Rodgers, as Aaron Rodgers throws for 313 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 1 interception, and he got his first ever overtime win. Yes, you heard me correctly. Aaron Rodgers gets his first overtime career win to improve to 1-7 in overtime. I'm sure those numbers are twisted and screwed up because he never gets the ball in overtime. It seems like he loses every single coin toss, but he got the ball in this overtime and connects with Jordy Nelson to get him into field goal range. Jordy had a huge day with 2 touchdowns. I swear him and Rodgers can communicate through their heads. What is that? Telepathic communications, whatever it's called. Rodgers and Jordy are one of the greatest wide receiver quarterback combinations in the NFL today. Let's keep it moving as the Falcons took care of the Lions in a controversial game. This is one of the few games where the Falcons actually covered the point spread, so hey, won you some money there, but it was a little close and probably had your heart rate racing at the end of the game as Golden Tate was ruled down at the 1-inch line. I think they actually ruled it a touchdown on the field, and then it gets reviewed and they called him down at the 1-inch line with his dumb 10-second runoff rule. The Lions didn't even get a chance to run another play, and the Lions really did get gypped as the Falcons snuck one out in Detroit 30-26 to improve to 3-0. The Falcons are one of the 2 undefeated teams still left, but they could easily be 1-2. Jordan Howard's drop pass in the end zone when they played the Bears, and now Golden Tate getting tackled at the 1-inch line. The Falcons, one of the few Super Bowl teams to avoid a hangover, but I don't even know if you want to say that because they're 3-0, but it ain't the prettiest 3-0. But hey, Raider fans all know the saying, just win, baby. Let's go ahead and keep it moving as we move on to another matchup between the NFC North and the NFC South as the Vikings absolutely took care of the Buccaneers 34-17. This wasn't a Buccaneers team that we saw in week 1, and I think a big issue of that was because their defense was banged up. They lost Quan Alexander. He wasn't even playing in the game. And then Lavonte David also went down with an injury, and it showed because the Bucs defense lost 4 or 5 starters, and Case Keenum torn him up for 369 yards and 3 touchdowns. Case Keenum threw for 3 touchdowns. Oh man, oh man. Sam Bradford, floppy sleeves. Are you going to get your job back? Are we going to have a 3-way quarterback controversy between Bridgewater, Case Keenum, and Sam Bradford? Who knows? Because Case Keenum was looking like a Pro Bowl quarterback. I don't even know how those words are coming out of my mouth, but he was connecting with Stephon Diggs the whole entire day as he had 8 catches for 173 yards and 2 touchdowns. And then you add in Dalvin Cook, the rookie, having 27 carries for 97 yards and a touchdown. And this Vikings offense actually looks like an offense. I talked about their defense so much, but hey, if the Vikings can play some offense, especially with Case Keenum at quarterback, watch out for the Vikings in that top 10 defense. They might be trying to make some wild card moves. While I did have the Buccaneers as a potential wild card team, I mentioned they were banged up badly on defense. Jameis Winston did not look good with those 3 interceptions, and they fall to 1-1 on the year. But let's go ahead and stick with another NFC South division matchup. We got the Saints and the Panthers in Carolina, and the Panthers were absolutely embarrassed at home. The Saints come out and put up their highest scoring total of the year, 34 points on this Carolina defense as Drew Brees throws for 220 yards and 3 touchdowns. On the flip side, Cam Newton threw 3 interceptions. Every quarterback from the NFC South threw 3 interceptions today except for Drew Brees. Hey, that explains why Drew Brees was the winning quarterback of the day. The Saints offense, I thought we'd see more of Adrian Peterson with the lead, but he still had a few carries. Mark Ingram had 14 carries, 56 yards. Michael Thompson was the leading receiver with 7 catches, 87 yards. Cam Newton, the struggle is real. I've told you about his offseason shoulder injury. He's looked inaccurate. He missed McCaffrey on a couple times, a couple high passes where McCaffrey already had 9 catches, could have had a couple more on the day. Now with Kelvin Benjamin leaving the game with a knee injury, we're praying that it is not too serious. But things are getting bad for worse for the Carolina Panthers as they fall to 2-1 in that NFC South. This would have been a huge game, beating a division team that didn't even have any wins this year and improving to 3-0. But nope, now they're 2-1, and the Saints are 1-2. And let's go ahead and keep it moving with the division rivalry games. We had the Giants and the Eagles. What a matchup. This was a game that I told you was going to end in a field goal. So I told you to take the Giants and the points. That paid off for you as the Eagles did win the game 27-24. Carson Wentz, 176 yards and a touchdown. Alshon Jeffrey came up huge with 4 catches and 56 yards. And probably the biggest catch on the day was when Carson Wentz was trying to get the Eagles down the field to set up a game-winning field goal. Alshon Jeffrey right on the sideline. 1 second left. And Jake Elliott, the rookie kicker for the Eagles, hits a 61-yard field goal to break pretty much every rookie record ever. I talked about Giorgio Tavecchio going a perfect 5-for-5, but this kid is kicking 61-yard field goals to win the game. It slid in there. Oh, man, what a feeling it's got to be for Jake Elliott. They straight up put him on the shoulders and carried him off the field like it was a Rudy movie. Good thing for the Eagles, they improved to 2-1 as the Giants fall to 0-3. This was a playoff team last year, and they fall to 0-3. We heard about it on the power rankings. The Giants really got to figure out what they're going to do as they try to catch up to the Dallas Cowboys because, hey, the Dallas Cowboys got it done on Monday Night Football to improve to 2-1 and pulled off a great comeback against the Cardinals because this really did look like the Cardinals were going to run away with this game. They went up quick, 7-0, got the ball back, had a touchdown, called back. We all thought it was 14-0. Then they go out for the field goal, missed the field goal, and it's only 7-0. And hey, the Cowboys took advantage of staying in the game because Dak got a rushing touchdown. Dez gets a catching touchdown where he went absolutely beast mode from about 15 yards out from the goal line. He was shadowed by Patrick Peterson for most of the game, but on that play alone, he straight up broke Patrick Peterson's ankles, threw up the X in the end zone, and then Ezekiel Elliott had to come in the fourth quarter and give that touchdown dagger to put an end to the Cardinals 28-17. This was a great showing by the Cowboys. We saw Dak go downfield, hit Bryce Butler on a couple deep balls, and we saw him come back because that was huge. The Cardinals went up quick early, and I think the thing that bothered them the most is what they had no David Johnson. They couldn't run the ball. They only had 49 total rushing yards, and they were just really passing the ball all game long and could not control the clock like the Cowboys usually do. They had to go with a different approach and just give Larry Fitzgerald the ball, which seemed on every single play. The man had 13 catches for 150 yards and a touchdown. They're throwing screens to him left and right, and OG Larry Fitz was looking like he was trying to put this team on his back. I've mentioned it, this could be the final year for him and Carson Palmer. They looked great in the first half, but just like the past year and a half, they haven't looked good in the second half, missing field goals, falling apart, and the Cardinals fall to 1-2 in the NFC West. And let's go ahead and wrap it up with the NFC West. As we start with the Raiders, we'll end with the Niners. The Niners actually put up one hell of a fight on Thursday Night Football. And what I tell you, Niner fans, if you wanted to bet on the Niners, this was the week to bet on them. I said, yeah, they might not win, but they're going to cover that 3-point spread because the division game between the Rams and the Niners seems like it always comes down to the wire. And the Rams ended up winning by 2 points, which means that the 49ers covered. So, hey, let's all celebrate for the Niners on the Bay's Golden Days as they cover the point spread at least. They still fell to 0-3 on the year, but, hey, at least they got into the end zone and scored a couple touchdowns as they put on the highest scoring Thursday Night Football game ever. Ever. Yes, the 49ers and the Rams, which people thought would be a snooze fest. I heard people predicting the score would be 6-0 to end the game. But hey, you got to give credit to this 49ers offense. They came out, put up points. Carlos Hyde had a big day. He had 25 carries for 84 yards and 2 touchdowns. Brian Hoyer threw for 332 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 1 interception. He was sacked 4 times as Aaron Donald came up huge at the end of the game. But it really was this Niners offense just wasn't as explosive as the Rams offense. As Hoyer threw for 300 yards, hey, Jared Goff was right behind him with 292 yards and 3 touchdowns and no interceptions. I thought the turnovers were huge in this game, as well as Todd Gurley with his 28 carries, 113 yards, and 2 touchdowns. And then we finally saw Sammy Watkins get involved. He had 6 catches, 106 yards, 2 touchdowns. This is looking like a truly explosive offense. The Rams are putting up some of the highest scoring points total so far in the season. But they've beat the Niners, and they've beat the Colts, and I'm not too impressed with either of them so far, so I can't hop on the Rams' bandwagon just yet, but they're looking like the LA team over the Chargers, so I guess that's something. At the end of the day, I guess all NFL fans could just be happy that we had an entertaining game on Thursday Night Football, and it started off the week with the Niners covering the point spread. I believe I'm 3-0 with all the upsets. Give me the points on Thursday nights. I'm telling you, you got to take these bets. And let's go ahead and look at the bets from next week, because you know what time it is. Straight cash, homie.
Straight cash, homie.
That's right. It's time for week 4 straight cash, homie, here on the Bay's Golden Age segment, where we're going to break down every single week 4 matchup of the NFL season by the point spread. And this is the Bay's Golden Age, so of course, we're going to give you the preview for the Raiders and the Broncos first. Both the Raiders and the Broncos are both coming off upset losses just the week before, so both of these teams should come out with a chip on their shoulder. The Raiders will be on the road once again in Denver. The Broncos are favored by 2.5 points. The Raiders split the series with the Broncos last year at 1-1. Well, we won the game with Derek Carr. We lost the game without Derek Carr. Surprise, surprise. But this wasn't even about Derek Carr last year, because, of course, we all know about the Denver defense, the no-fly zone, Von Miller, and how they're known to shut down quarterbacks and passing attempts. Well, the first game last year, we beat them on the ground. It was Latavius Murray had over 100 yards and 3 touchdowns as the Raiders took care of the Broncos 30-20. The Raiders did a great job in that game taking control of the ball. They doubled up the Broncos on time of possession, and Carr did not get sacked at all. I'm talking about all these things that we didn't see last week, so hopefully we will see it coming out of the Raiders this week. Some of my biggest matchups, like I mentioned, Marshawn Lynch taking over for Latavius Murray. If we're going to run the ball down the Broncos' throat, this is a perfect time for Beast Mode to have his first 100-yard game. I look for him to get into the end zone a couple times. The no-fly zone, Aqib Talib, Chris Harris Jr., they're going to be marching up with Crabtree and Cooper. Crabtree, you better go off on fucking Aqib Talib for snatching your chain last year. He didn't even snatch that shit. He just broke it, so Crabtree still held on to it. But you lost your dignity. You got to get that back this season. And punk Aqib Talib, I'm hoping he mosses him a couple times in the end zone. Cooper, we all know what's going on with Cooper this year. He's been dropping balls left and right. It was a problem 2 years ago. He cut back on it last year, but it seems like it's back. We just need this Raiders offense to get into the flow. I want to see Jared Cook get used over the middle. There's no more TJ Ward, so if you're going to attack the defensive secondary for the Broncos, try to go through the middle. Slot Roberts could have some success also lined up in the slot, but this is going to be a great division matchup back and forth. We'll see who has a bigger impact, Von Miller or Khalil Mack. There's always a debate who's the best outside linebacker slash defensive end in the league. Well, Khalil Mack won Defensive Player of the Year last year, and I think he's going to have a better matchup going up against Melvin Watson, the ex-Raider playing right tackle for the Broncos. He's already let up a few sacks this year. I think Khalil Mack is going to eat against him. It's going to be interesting to see how Marshall Newhouse and Donald Penn do on the edges against Von Miller. I also want to see how Carl Joseph comes up and helps attack this run. CJ Anderson and now Jamaal Charles for the Broncos. Yes, Jamaal Charles. We thought we got him out of his hair with the Kansas City Chiefs. Now he's on the Broncos. Stop the screen pass. We saw what Chris Thompson did last week. He put up the most receiving yards by a running back since guess who? Jamaal Charles. And now we're playing against Jamaal Charles. We need a lot better tackling. We need a lot better team defense this game. I look for Sean Smith to bounce back. He's going to be huge matching up against Demaryius Thompson if he gets out there, or it might just be Gerrion Conley, the rookie, going up against the big man, Emmanuel Sanders. We know what he can do. Hey, I just hope all things falling apart. Marquette King, I want to see you riding donkeys again as you're flipping the field left and right, but I want to see points from the Raiders, and I want to see him come back with a vengeance after getting embarrassed on Sunday Night Football. I'm taking the Raiders plus 2.5 points in Denver over the donkeys. You know what it is. It's Raider Nation, baby, and let's go ahead and look at the rest of the picks for the week. We'll start with Thursday Night Football here on Straight Cash, homie, for week 4 of the NFL season. The Bears and the Packers face off on Thursday Night Football. The Packers are favored by 7 points at home in Lambeau. We saw what Jordan Howard was able to do, put the team on his back against the Steelers last week. But on a short week, I don't know how much I'm trusting that shoulder injury, and I don't trust Mike Glennon to try to go pound for pound with one of the best of all time, Aaron Rodgers. I'll take the Packers minus the 7 points. We got the Saints and the Dolphins kicking off Sunday morning out from London. The Dolphins, who are London's second team. I wonder if Dolphins fans and Jaguars argue, oh, who's the London team? Well, who gives a fuck? He should have sent the goddamn Chargers because no one wanted him in LA. But I'm talking about the Dolphins and the Saints. The Dolphins are the underdogs in this game at home. Home dogs looking to try to bounce back from getting embarrassed by the Jets last week, but the Saints getting their first win of the season. They're minus 2.5 point favorites. I look for them to continue the trend of winning, improve to 2-2 on the day, so I'll take the Saints minus the 2.5 points. The Bills and the Falcons should be an exciting game. The Falcons are favored by 8 points, but I don't know if this is a spread that I trust. As I mentioned, the Bills have the number one scoring defense, top 5, top 10 in total yards allowed. This could be a close game. I think the Falcons win, but I don't know if they're going to cover that 8-point spread. The Steelers and the Ravens face off in an AFC North division matchup. The Steelers are favored by 3 on the road. This is one of those division games where I feel like it's going to end by 3 points always. The Steelers and the Ravens, anybody in the AFC North, when they play each other, it seems like it's a 3-point fucking game. So the Steelers, you might want to buy that down to 2.5. I think the Steelers will win, but the Ravens at home, you know, John Harbaugh is going to be pissed off and trying to send a message. This should be a low-scoring, close division game. Look for the under and look for the Steelers to win. The Bengals and the Browns face off in Cleveland. The Bengals are favored by 3 points on the road as the Browns are once again the home underdogs. And I think it's going to stay like that throughout the entire season. They had their chance last week against the Colts. We saw the Bengals offense come around against the Packers this week. I think if they turn around against the Packers, they could turn around against the Browns. And I'll look for the Bengals to get their first win of the season, giving the Bengals minus the 3 points. We got the Rams and the Cowboys also facing off Sunday morning at 10 o'clock in Dallas. The Cowboys are favored by 7.5 points. I've talked about this Rams offense and all the things they've done so far. It's not like the Dallas Cowboys got a top 10 defense. They might be able to put up some points. Jared Goff should be able to move the ball. We'll see if Todd Gurley is able to find the end zone. At the end of the day, I like the Cowboys to win this game. A touchdown seems about right, but they just had to put it at 7.5, so it's more than a touchdown. I will take the Cowboys into points. I'm still confident after seeing what they did last week to pull off the comeback on Monday Night Football. We'll move on to the Titans and the Texans in an AFC South division matchup. The Titans are favored by 1.5 points on the road, and that's who I'm taking. We saw what they did to the Seahawks last week. We saw week one what a great matchup it was between the Raiders and Titans. I've said it in my preseason podcast, I'm taking the Titans to win the AFC South, so I will take them to improve the 3-1 in a division game. But look for Deshaun Watson to try to will whatever he can to keep the Texans in this game. It's going to be a great matchup between his offensive line versus J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney. It's probably going to be one of the best low-key underrated matchups of the week, and I'm for sure going to keep an eye out for that. And we'll keep it moving now with the Lions and the Vikings. This is a pick'em game, and which should be one of the most interesting games of the week. We still don't know if it's going to be Case Keenum. We don't know if it's going to be Floppy Sleeve Sam Bradford or if Teddy Bridgewater's got his back together, but the Vikings were putting up points with whoever's at quarterback, because now with the run game with Dalvin Cook, I didn't think they were going to be able to run with this offensive line, but Dalvin Cook's looked great. Stephon Diggs is looking great. Adam Thielen's looking great. This offense is looking great to complement that great defense. I might just have to take the Vikings at home in a pick'em game. I know Matthew Stafford might try to make a fourth quarter comeback and keep this game close, but I'm going to go stick with the Vikings and that defense to come up with a big play at the end of the game. We'll move on to the Panthers and the Patriots. New England being the home favorite by 9 points. We're going to have to see if Cam Newton can finally show up. This is going to be a huge game, playing, of course, the ex-Super Bowl champions. But the Patriots really haven't looked like ex-Super Bowl champions so far this year with a lot of close games. They lost to the Chiefs week 1. They didn't cover the spread week 2. They didn't cover the spread week 3. I'm not sticking with the Patriots to cover at 9-point spread right now. I think the Panthers keep it close. The Patriots end up winning the game by at least a touchdown, but that 9 points is scary. Once again, I'm staying away from the Patriots and the points. The Jaguars and the Jets battled it out in New York. The Jets coming off their first win of the season, but the Jaguars coming off their biggest win out in London. I'll take the Jaguars minus 3.5 points. Jalen Ramsey said, "We got the best defense in the league, and I think they'll do a good job slowing down Josh McCain and whoever the hell is playing offense for the Jets." The 49ers and the Cardinals face off in an NFC matchup as we move to the afternoon games. This is going down in Arizona as they try to recover from that Monday night loss. The 49ers are underdogs by 7 points. Carson Palmer, Larry Fitzgerald looked great. If Larry Fitzgerald has half as many catches as he did this past week against the Cowboys, I look for the Cardinals to get the job done, as that defense did improve, did fall apart a little bit in that second half, but the Cardinals defense should still be enough to take care of the 49ers, so I will take the Cardinals minus a touchdown. The Eagles and the Chargers should be in a high scoring game in the afternoon slate. The Chargers are actually favored by 1 point at home. You know, they give them 3 points just for being the home team. But I am liking the Eagles to pull off the upset on the road. I've talked about so many times now Carson Wentz is going to have a good year. I think this is a high-power offense. They did lose Darren Sproles, so there could be rumors now that they're going to be looking for a running back on the market. Adrian Peterson. But I like the Eagles' offense still with Alshon Jeffrey and Torrey Smith, and Carson Wentz finally got some weapons. I look for him to win in a shootout over the Chargers in L.A., so give me the Eagles and the plus 1 points. The Giants and the Buccaneers face off as two teams that were utterly disappointed last week. The Buccaneers will try to bounce back at home. They are favored by 3 points. It's going to be interesting to see. I mentioned their defensive injuries. If Quan, Lavonte David are back, I like them in this game. Jameis Winston's going to have to try to look to bounce back. Eli Manning, I never bet on Eli Manning with those interceptions, and his offensive line has just looked terrible this year. So I will take the Buccaneers minus 3 points. The Colts and the Seahawks face off on Sunday Night Football, and there's still no Andrew Luck, and I'm still not picking the Colts, and it should be simple as that. But the Seahawks are favored by 13 points. They barely even scored 13 points a game this year. This offense has looked pathetic so far for the Seahawks. I talked about their offensive line all season long. I guarantee the Seahawks are going to win this game. I just don't think they're going to cover that 13-point spread. This is probably a spread that I'm going to stay away from until we get to Monday night, where we got the Redskins and the Chiefs. And hey, the Redskins, you think you're tough shit, huh? Taking out the Raiders last week in primetime? Well, how about you take out the Chiefs in primetime, huh? Give the Chiefs the first loss of the year. The Chiefs are favored minus 7 points at home. But if I'm being honest with myself, I picked the Raiders to win last week over the Redskins. And you know for sure I'm still going to pick the Chiefs to win over the Redskins. Hey, at the end of the day, we can go back and forth all day with these NFC East fans. I think the AFC West is the best division in football. And I think the Chiefs go out and prove it Monday night. But hey, these were my picks for week 4 at NFL Straight Cash, homie. Let me give you a quick review, skip all the BS, all the talking, and just straight picks by the point spread, starting off with the Raiders plus 2.5 points in Denver. Thursday Night Football, I'm taking the Packers minus a touchdown. Saints Dolphins, give me the Saints minus 2.5 points. The Bills and the Falcons, I'll take the Falcons minus the 8. The Steelers and the Ravens, I'll take the Steelers minus 3. The Bengals and the Browns, I will take the Bengals minus 3 on the road. The Rams and the Cowboys, Cowboys favored by 7.5. I'll take by a touchdown. Titans and Texans, I will take the Titans minus 1.5. Lions, Vikings, I'll take the Vikings in a pick 'em game. The Panthers and the Patriots, I picked the Patriots to win, but I don't like that point spread, so maybe the Panthers and the points might be a smarter bet. The Jaguars and the Jets, I like the Jaguars minus 3.5. The 49ers and the Cardinals, give me the Cardinals minus a touchdown. The Eagles and the Chargers, give me the Eagles for the upset plus 1 point. Giants and the Buccaneers favored by 3. I'll take the Bucks. The Colts and the Seahawks, I'll take the Seahawks winning the game, but once again, I do not like this 13-point spread. Monday Night Football, Redskins Chiefs. The Chiefs are favored by 7. Give them a win by a touchdown to the AFC to give them some revenge for that AFC West versus NFC East division rivalry battle that we're going back and forth now. But at the end of the day, this is straight cash, homie. Bay's Golden Days. Hopefully, we can win you some money. We won you some money last week, even through that crazy upset special, the week of the upset in the NFL, and we still won you some money. So come back. Thursday Night Football, we're 3-0 picking who's going to win the upset on Thursday night when I'm sure no one's winning money on Thursday night. Bay's Golden Days is your place to be for every single bet, every single sport. This is the Bay's Golden Days. Thank you for downloading and subscribing on iTunes and Google Play. You can follow us on social media at baysgoldendays.com. For sponsorship opportunities, email us at baysgoldendays@gmail.com. And you know what it is, baby. We're going to be here every single week. Win, lose, or die. I'm a Raider till I die. It's still Raider Nation. Still 2-1. I'm not overreacting. It's not the end of the year. I still got the Raiders as a playoff team, and we're going to catch those Chiefs and still win the AFC West. You heard it right here on the Bay's Golden Days, baby. Let's go. It's golden. 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 Golden.
Golden. Steady gold. Pony boy.